Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Photo Show. As you may have noticed, we've been away for a few weeks on our holidays and jaunting around the place, but we're back now with some exciting plans for the next season of photo shows, along with the regular pieces that we do on kit and news. So let's start off by saying hello to Ian. Hello, Ian. How's your summer been?
Busy working, and did squeeze a holiday in there, and yeah, just the usual stuff.
Okay, great. Damien, how are you?
Yeah, so Ian, just saying about holiday, I had a great holiday in Loch Lomond, and we had a great time up there. Seemed a long time ago now, that's why I forgot all about it.
I was fortunate to come down to Ian's neck of the wood. We had a brief week or so down in the wilds of Cornwall in about the worst weather they've ever seen, I thought. Yeah. But
it didn't look like this.
No. Didn't look like that at all. No. I'll show up here the photograph. This is us at Land's End, and it was, but a lovely place. We'd love to go back, and we want to go and have a look at we were on the West Coast, weren't we? The Bristol Channel side. We want to look more
North Coast.
Down that way next time. But and up to Scotland, we've got some relatives up there that we keep threatening to come and see. So let's move on to the news we've had over the past few weeks. So the big photographic news really of the last few weeks and months that we've seen is the release of the new iPhone 13 with really the major upgrade. Damien is now showing off his nice new phone, is the upgrade to the camera system. Now I've got a 12, so the upgrade for me isn't sufficient to get me to buy a 13. I'll more likely wait for the 14, 15 or whatever. But I think, Damien, you've seen quite a difference because you upgraded from what was your previous phone?
Mine was 11 Pro and my contract's 2 years. And so it just looks a good deal to go up to the iPhone 13. And first impressions are it's really good. I mean, I've seen some people using the Samsungs, and I've seen the telephoto on the Samsungs, which is 10 times. This is 3 times. Okay, so it's not got that. The macro is much improved on it, and it's got some nice color schemes to it that you can use that I can try out, a bit like Fujifilm. Reading the crits on it, I mean, yes, I think there's been a jump on the optics. However, the big jump has been the algorithms that they use to make sure the picture looks good. I'm looking for the raw files at the moment because I haven't, on the iPhone 11, I didn't get any of the iPhone raw files. So I'm getting used to it and getting the hang of it. But the couple of pictures I've taken so far, they've been crisp, they've been good. It's just very fast. It's faster, the processor, than the 11. So for me, the jump's been good. And I quite like the picture that you get with the iPhone. The only thing I always find with the iPhone is I'm not so keen sometimes if it's taking pictures of red skies or low light. Some people do like it in the low light, but I sometimes find the compensation annoys me because I can see with my eyes, I want to get certain shadows and some contrast, and the damn iPhone goes into its algorithm and makes everything look beautiful. And I could do that with my SLR or my Fuji and play around with it. But with the iPhone, you are reliant on it doing the shot for you from that point of view. But having said that, I'll give you a report in the next show and how I'm getting on. But I quite like it.
What I want to know is with a number like 13, how's it not in a case?
Yeah, well, I've got the case ordered. And I've still got to put the glass on it at the moment. So
makes me nervous. I'm getting sweaty palms just watching it. You're waving it around without a case on.
That's right. Whoops.
The other phone's been recycled to my daughter, my youngest daughter, who's very excited about it. And her phone's got recycled to her husband, who is in the same sort of profession as Martin, does a lot of work outside, and the phone doesn't last too long in Jim's hands, but he's very excited. I think he's going to get an iPhone 8 or something like that.
I must admit, I looked at it, and because I'm on a 10R, and which is still the single camera,
yeah.
but I would want to go as an iPhone 6 Plus user, I'd want to go with the Max, just, you know, just to be greedy. And then I was looking at memory and I'm thinking, oh, I'm nearly sort of maxed out on 128 gig on my XR. So I'd probably want the 256. And then it was just getting to like 1,500 quid. And I was like, there's just no way I can justify. And I don't do my phones. I don't do them on contract because I just buy them outright just because I don't want to be dealing with another contract. But so, yeah, it's not for me at the moment, but I did look. I was tempted.
One of my Flickr friends who I've known, never met with them, but she does a lot of work just on an iPhone 8. And I have to say, excellent, her composition.
Yeah, my 10R, I can't complain.
You have to say what you're getting extra for it. I mean, yeah, a few tweaks, a few extra things that you can play around with. And therefore I can say I've got the iPhone 13. I suppose it's got a little bit of that sort of aspect to it.
We do. Yeah, I mean, we do know how you like your cachet, Damien. So yeah, you're the top dog at the moment. You know, we got a 10, a 12, and now someone with a 13. So yeah, okay.
I think it's the telephoto that appeals to me most though, because I do find myself with the 10R just, it's being fixed. It's like, I'd love to just, you know, reframe this shot slightly, and you there's only so much walking you can do with your feet, you know, especially if you're stood on a cliff edge like this, you know?
I'd be interested to see what it's like taking pictures into the sun, because you get a lot of reflection off the rings with the 11, and you have to get onto your snap speed and take the
wasn't that was that just a rumor or was that it happened happens, there was happens.
you get
no there was a rumor that in a future iOS update, it was automatically, you know, you get that green blob of lens flare. It was automatically going to remove that through, well,
again, I'll tell you how it goes, yeah.
Through computational. And I don't know if that's out yet or if it was a future iOS update, but yeah, I'll try and find an article on that. But it was, yeah, they found a way of not all of the lens flare, but you know, you get that very prominent green, normally like a green blob.
Yeah.
Apple have worked out a way of basically just cloning it straight out of the shot when you take it, which is quite cool.
I forgot to say the video. I don't do a lot of video other than a few stories, but I was playing with it last night and I was just quite amazed that the focus was really, really quickly jumped into various things that I was looking at. And I thought that was very clever. It's more stylized to do your video that way. And it, this so-called was very good.
Never do video portrait. No. Oh, God.
Everybody has to do portrait now.
Everyone has to be shot who's doing portrait on a phone. Sorry, it's got to be landscape. You can always crop it down. It can't go the other way.
The problem is Instagram's to blame for that, isn't it?
Yeah. Big everyone's time. Holding the phone up. And
on the subject of video, though, when we were preparing for the show, I did find an article that said that what's the video format that the new 13 does? Is it ProRes video?
Yes. Yeah.
It at the highest setting, apparently, it's 6 gigabytes a minute of storage.
Yeah. So that's why I think in the 13 you can now get a 1 terabyte storage facility, which you're going to need for that kind of stuff. But I use my iPhone 12 for a lot of video work, and the quality is superb, really, for what you're doing. It really is good enough. Certainly, if you're going to be putting on YouTube or anything like that, it's more than adequate. You know, we're not turning into
the iPhone 13 Brigade have been out on the Slack room bragging. I've been in there as well. You've noticed they've all.
Yes, we did. We did. Yeah, very good.
Yeah, I hope you drop it.
All right. The other item that I wanted to mention was that we'll talk about it further in the last part of the show, but Canon have now made an announcement that apparently the R3 isn't going to be the top of the line camera. So Rose is they're going to be an R1, and the rumor mills are already running off as to what their specification could be for that, because the R3 is already a pretty highly spec machine. I think Would you say it's the equivalent to the 1DX, Ian?
No, it's better than the 1DX.
Yeah.
Spec-wise, it outperforms the 1DX. So for them to say that it's not the flagship camera is a bold statement, because that means they must have a roadmap.
Yeah.
And would that put which is astonishing.
Off, would that put people off buying the R3?
No, I don't think so, because I think if there is an R1, it's probably 2-3 years away potentially. You know, I find it what that camera is capable of and what everyone is saying about it so far is just insane. And
the sports photographers, the press photographers, they're all out there desperate for it.
Yeah. It's not going to be available to November, I believe. I think the first shipments, they're talking about November.
They only had two physical units at the photography show.
Yes, and I had to join the queue to get my hands on it for a few minutes. But we'll talk about that. We'll come back to all that in a few minutes. So although there's been lots of kit that we saw at the recent photography show, which we'll come to in the last part of the show, there's been some few pieces that are unusual and new. Ian, you spotted a new item that you thought was interesting.
Yeah, it's a bit different. There's this new camera. I've never heard of them before, but it's not the first camera they've released, apparently. It's a company called Pixi, PIXII. It's a 26 megapixel APS-C rangefinder style camera with what they're calling an interactive viewfinder, which is a bit I can't get my head around. Because they're saying that the optical viewfinder, it will project information in the optical viewfinder, like shutter speed, white balance, exposure compensation, but I see that stuff in my Canon 5D Mark III, so I don't understand why that's particularly groundbreaking.
Is it more unusual on the viewfinder camera? Would you normally get that in a viewfinder camera?
I don't know.
I don't use them myself, so that's something we may look at.
Your Fuji is a range.
Yes, it's
range finder style, isn't it?
It can be.
So it's in the EVF.
Yes.
Yeah, so maybe it's more unusual for the optical viewfinders, but the other thing that I thought was interesting was it's built-in memory. So for $3,000, you only get 32 gigabytes to start with.
Wow.
So you've got to make that decision as soon as you purchase it. And so the next size up is 64 gigabytes. That's $3,380. And if you want 128 gigabytes, it's $3,500.
Wow! And you can't add your cards in yourself.
No, it's internal memory
only. Right.
So
sounds a bit like some kind of sounds a bit like a phone manufacturer who did away with additional cards.
Actually, I mean, I've been an iPhone user for years. I've never come across a situation where I wished I'd been able to, put another card in. So Yeah, but I guess you have to make that decision right when you buy the camera.
Yeah,
and how much memory you're going to put in.
And if it's 24 megapixels, did you say?
26.
So they're going to produce quite large file sizes.
Well, yeah, I mean, my Canon 5D Mark III is what? I think it's 22 megapixels, and like 24. And on a 32 gig card, that's good for sort of just around 1,000 shots, just over 1,000 shots. So.
Okay.
Yeah,
but as long as you're able to unload it each time, download it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you're going to take this camera away on, say, a fortnight holiday, you might come unstuck.
You could easily
take hundreds of pictures, couldn't you? If you were going away, so
you'd need to look very carefully at the connection details there. What you can use, is it USB-C or is it HDMI?
Yeah, it has got USB-C support.
Okay, so that would you should be able to do a fast download. Interesting. Okay, have to look at that and see what. I'll see if I can find some images taken on it here.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting looking camera. It's different.
Good. Now the other thing was, now this isn't, you haven't actually found something yet, Damien, I believe you're looking for a tripod. Do you want to explain a little bit about that?
Oh, that's just me, because I'm probably thinking we might be going out to Seattle and to the foothills of Mount Rainier. And so I was looking for a travel a travel tripod, and I was just asking Ian, and I suppose it's one of those things, you want to buy something cheap to pack away in the suitcase, but then it's going to necessarily have to be a bit sturdy if it's going to go around a few the mountain terrain and that. But it's just looking around and seeing what's around. I might end up taking my heavy tripod when all said and done.
Yeah, what camera would you stick on it?
Oh, it'd be the D5, you see.
Right, okay. Yeah, I mean, what I would say about the travel tripod, I mean, I use it with the 5D Mark III all the time, yeah, and a 24-70 lens. I've even put a 70-200 on it, but I always get the feeling I can't walk too far away from it. Yes, if you know what I mean.
I could imagine,
you want to be there, because it is what it is at the end of the day. Yeah, the legs are pretty thin because you want to be able to pack it right down small. Yes.
I used to have an aluminium one, which I got rid of. I changed, and the aluminium one was really light. It was actually a freebie I got from Jessup's, but it was really good, and it was quite sturdy, even though it was aluminium. And I wish I'd kept it really now, because it was ideal for packing away in a suitcase.
Our erstwhile namesake, Ewan, there's two pearls of his wisdom, which I recall. Was one that he said, if you have got, you know, thousands of pounds worth of lens and kit, putting it on a cheap tripod is really tempting fate. But if you do want to use a cheap tripod and you're traveling, then don't bother taking one with you. Buy a cheap one when you get out to wherever you're going, and basically leave it in the room after you've left. It's amount of effort it takes to take a tripod with you. The last time I did that with I don't suppose I should mention their name, but they've got big orange planes. When I got to my holiday destination, the tripod, all of the clamps on the legs had been snapped, or it had been thrown around. So the tripod was literally useless unless I wanted to take something that tall. So I ended up having to buy one locally. So yeah, if that's the two ways of looking at it. What was the one that you saw that we were looking at? This was the tripod.
I was just thinking, you know, who's that writer? Scott, the book, who the photographer writer, I've forgotten his name. Scott
Kelby.
Scott Kelby. He reckons you buy one of those. Was it very flat? Was he got a platypus or something like that? A flat tripod with little spikes, and then you can just put it on a rock and stabilize it that way.
Yeah, or even just a good old beanbag if you've got something like that.
Yeah, I might. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, Ian had found something for me, and he put it up. Was it? What was it called?
It's a King Joy. If anyone's ever watched the Photography Online YouTube channel, they rave about the King Joy stuff. That's the only reason I looked at it, to be honest. Yeah. And to be honest, what they were saying on one of their shows was they make a lot of the tripods, if that makes sense, for the other brands, and they're just rebranded. So, and I must say, I'm really pleased with it as a tripod.
I might go and have a look at that one. Good. It's a good suggestion.
The other one, I use a Valbon for my video camera, and that's pretty good. It's a reasonable. It's not that expensive, you know, but it's a very sturdy tripod, and it does make you feel safe. You know, you were saying, Ian, about there's nothing worse than walking away from your tripod on a windy day, because how far can you go? Can you get back there in time if it starts to topple? So, yeah, you need to bear these things in mind. But so we'll have a look around for you, Damien, and we'll come up with some suggestions next show.
I mean, one thing I'd say that was good about the photography show, and still is good about the photography show, is there are a plethora of tripods around that you can go around and look at and try them out. And you know, I took a chance on mine and just bought it through Amazon, having not seen it before. And luckily, it's a great tripod. But there's nothing you can't beat actually seeing the stuff and touching it and seeing if it's right for you.
Funny you should say that, Ian. At the show, we were going into this later on, but I was struggling to video a local football match. We have a football match here in the village between the pub side and the school side, and it's a fairly rumbustious affair. There's no quarter given or nothing asked or taken for, and I'm way too old to be playing football like that. So I said I'd film it for them and do something for the filming. And I found trying to use my camera on the tripod a bit awkward, but using it on a monopod was really useful. So I managed to get this one. I'm not going to show you, you'll see this hopefully if I hold it in front of me. It's called a Airbill. It's a very, very solid monopod. I'll try and keep this in view for you. With a lovely head on top of it and a very strong and sturdy base to it. It also has a fold-out tripod base at the bottom, so you can use it to give yourself some purchase. And what amazed me was they were doing a show offer, and you know when you get a show offer and you think, is it really worth it? I've looked it up online. The cheapest price I can find it anywhere online was $269. And I got it for £99. So it made the show worthwhile, but we'll talk about that later on. So, yeah, so again, anyone has some good tripod news or experience that they've had with a tripod, send it in to us. We're looking now to start seeing if we can find something for Damien for his gallivant round to the west coast of America. Okay. That's the kit we found so far. We're going to talk about further kit that we found at the photography show in the next section of the show. So in this part of the show, we're going to talk about the photo team had a little jolly off to the photographic show and video show that was held at the NEC a couple of weeks ago. And we had a chance to look around and play with some of the kit and get your hands on and actually see what this stuff is like. It's all right seeing it on the internet and reviews and everything else, but physically to get your hands on this kit is the best way of doing it. So while we were there, we did a short little section. We filmed a little bit of a conversation we had, which really had to emphasize the atmosphere of the show and what we found at the time. So I'm going to show you that to you now. Please bear with us. The sound is appalling. We had real sound problems. I'm not a great audio man, I'm afraid. So please bear with us. Listen through it as best you can. And then we'll come back and talk at the end of the recording. So, good evening, everyone. Welcome to our little expedition to the photo show exhibition here at the NEC. Obviously, Damo and Ian are with us today. We've had a look around the store, around the shops, around the exhibition. So, we're just going to tell you our general take on what we found and how much money we've all spent. So, let's start off with you, Ian. You've been here a few days. What do you think? What do you think of the show overall?
I think it's important to say that it's really great that the show's back on.
Yeah.
You know, it's been really hard, you know, 18 months, 2 years. Was it 2019? March 2019 was the last time.
Yes.
I was here. And it, for me, it's become a bit of an annual event, you know, coming with friends, discussing, you know, a topic that I'm passionate about, you know, looking lusting over gear that I can't afford.
Yeah, very true.
So the first thing is to say is, so I'm really glad it's back on. And, you know, I think the organisers have done the show itself. There is a part of me that is disappointed. I think in my mind you build it up to a place where, you know, there has a certain level of expectation. And yeah, the truth is there's a lot of exhibitors missing.
Yeah.
You know, whether that's be because, you know, the finance because of COVID they can't afford it, or they can't get here because of the HGV logistics, or they're just scared of COVID still. You know, there's a lot of fear out there still.
Who's the biggest one? So, Adobe aren't here, are they?
Adobe weren't here last time, to be fair. No. Which is a shame, because previously they've done really good production talks.
Yeah. But it is meant to be a photography and video show. Yeah. So you would have thought with their expertise in both camps.
Not many drone people.
No, I didn't see any of the big. There's a couple of the suppliers are doing drones. But there's no DJI on here, for example, personally.
So I have to thank you, because usually when I come to the show, I come by myself. It's so busy, you fight to try and get to the stands, and you're sometimes finding it really difficult to look around. So I've actually found the last couple of hours been quite good. I've actually been able to get in and handle some of the cameras, not having to be pushed out of the way by other people's waiting. There's a few missing that I'd like to have been here. but some of them I've got to see. I went to the Nikon stand, I went to the Canon stand, I enjoyed that. Fuji film, I enjoyed that. Sony stand, I wasn't so happy with. I didn't feel it as friendly as the other stands, but I enjoyed what I've seen. So
you got some Nikon to
come back. I got a present from the Nikon stand.
Yeah, so, great.
I'll find a use for that.
I must admit, okay, being fair, I did own the Nikon Z, and their new Nikon Z, it's a real throwback camera. It's the old-fashioned style.
Too many people around.
Yeah, it was quite strange. It's the old-fashioned style, the old aluminium finish on the top, and it's got buttons, right? And one guy I was listening to was saying that he does a lot of photography in the cold, and he said the buttons on a lot of them, you can't get to them without taking gloves off. He said, then you're free. So he said, having the big old fashioned diodes. I said to him next week, he'll be looking for the old film rewind lever. We'll be going back 20 years. But it was interesting. I did like that. It was different. It was a throwback.
The talks have been a bit up and down. I mean, I hadn't booked like you had in for some of the big name ones. But I went to one on Fine Art. That was really good. I enjoyed that one. Some of the others, they were good, but their PowerPoints weren't up to much, and if they're going to show pictures,
I think that's always the way, though. I mean, they're free tools, so I think, you know, sometimes you sit down, you're 10, 15 minutes in, you think, no, this isn't for me, and you can just walk off. Some of them are absolutely superb. I've gone, because there hasn't been so much to see around the show floor, I've done more tools this year than I have previously, because, to be honest, you know, I walked around yesterday, myself and a friend that I came with, and after an hour or so, we sort of covered the floor, and they're like, oh, is that it? So, you know, no Manfrotto, no Lee Filters, no Lopro, no Novo. I mean, some big names not here, unfortunately. And the other thing that I found is, you know, like there was some stuff that myself and a friend, you know, that we wanted to look at, or we were keen to purchase. And you know, we've gone to the stands, and they're like, yeah, you can have it at the show price, but it's going to be November before you can have it. So everyone's still struggling with the whole supply chain. Yeah. So it's a very different photography show. But as I say, I'm pleased that it's back.
I have to apologise to everyone for the sound. We thought we were in a nice, quiet part of the thing, and now they've got the actual arena down the end. That. They're going berserk. So pardon the background noise.
We're going to have a look at that in a second.
We'll have a look. Yeah. So the highlight of the show, Damo, what did you see?
Handling the R5. I like the R5. I got the money. I was told probably not for me by the person selling it, which is quite interesting.
Yeah.
But I quite like handling the R5. Really good.
Yeah. Ian?
For me, one of the free talks that I saw yesterday, a chap called Alan Hewitt, wildlife photographer. His images, well, yeah. You one of those people who sit there and you think, why do I bother? Because they're just amazing.
So that's another guest. Now you've got me to get on the show sometime.
Yeah, that'd be good. But I think the key with some of the speakers is how engaging the person is as well.
Yeah.
You know, I've been to talks previously where the person's got fantastic images, but unfortunately not particularly engaging. You know, that's not criticism, because I couldn't do it myself. But Alan Hewitt, I must say, he had the images, but backing up with his presentation style. So
you saw Mr. Rankin this afternoon.
Rankin, yeah, he was very good. Yeah, I mean, he could talk for England, but he was fascinating to listen to. I mean, what career he's had. Would have just liked to have seen more of his portfolio. But he just kept talking and talking, which was great. You got your money's worth.
Good. My highlight was I actually got my hands on the new R3. I'm now £6,000 down if I'm going to get this camera, but it is beautiful. It is a stunning camera, and for me, one of the main advantages I found out was that at the moment I have a 6D, which I try and use for video, and of course with that, the mirror goes up and you're trying to picture looking at the back screen, so of course holding it and framing it and keeping it still is a nightmare. With the mirrorless, you can actually look through the viewfinder, so you can have it in nice and close, nice and tight for doing video work. So. Yeah, so I hope, Jackie, if you're listening, don't listen, please, for the next couple of minutes. Yeah, I've somehow got to find £6,000. So so the show's on for another day, I believe it's on the
two more days.
So if you want to get down, if you've got a chance to pop into the NEC, I think it's worthwhile for what you spend to get in. And if you want to get your hands on a camera, you may be looking at to try something different. It's great that you've got all the cameras in one spot and you can try them all and have a go.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I have been a little bit critical of the show, but what I would say is, you know, you've still got WEX, London Camera Exchange, Camera World, they've all got show deals on there. Yeah. They do have a lot of kit here. I mean, you know, a lot of stands have got the Canon R5, R6, all in stock if you want to walk away with one today.
Yeah.
And a lot of the talks, you know, you can literally go for talks all day if you want to, and they're all included in your ticket price, so it's worth.
Yeah, it's good. Don't think so. Yeah. And it's great to have it back, as you say. Yeah. The show's actually back, and next year maybe they'll all feel a bit more. Because I'm sure they were thinking, who's going to turn up? Are the crowds going to be here? Is it going to be worth it?
Was it going to get cancelled again last minute?
Yeah, we're still in that dodgy kind of area where we don't know exactly. But we've enjoyed it. Come down and have a look at our show. If not, we'll be doing a little bit more in the show about some of the items we found while we were going around. So hopefully we'll see you at the next show.
Bye.
So you heard there at the time we were talking about what we found about the show. Now I've had a chance to think back, and I know both Ian and Damien have done blog articles, and I'll put the links up here for you to follow if you want to go and see what their thoughts were. Ian was up there for a few days. Damien was, I think, went on the Sunday and the Monday. I just did a flying visit on the Sunday. So looking back now with a bit of time, Ian, what was the show a success?
I think you have to applaud the organisers for going ahead with it and persevering with it. You know, the thing that was quite striking versus previous years was how quiet the NEC was. There's normally other shows going on, and we didn't see one other show taking place, which meant that the organisers were really putting their necks on the line to carry on with it.
Which was great for parking. Got straight in, no problem. That was good.
And they must feel it was worthwhile, because having come home, and I was just looking at the Photography Show website, there are already dates for next year.
Yeah.
So normally at the show, they'll have like advertising when, as you walk out, see you next year, and they have the dates there. They didn't have anything like that this year. And I was like, why? Are they a bit uncertain about next year? But having gone onto the website, they've got dates already for September 2022.
Mm. And I think also a place as busy as the NEC, you do have to book it, you know, years in advance in some instances. Yeah. But yeah, I agree with the show was quite bold. I found a lot of the suppliers and the exhibitors were there. They were in a quandary as to how big the show was going to be, how many people. Some of them didn't bring hardly any kit with them to sell. You couldn't get on some of the stands. It wasn't available. There was everything you wanted. There was more than enough stock. So
yeah, I mean, it was clear that some of them were having the same sort of HGV logistical supply issues that the country is facing at the moment. So that was quite evident. Someone did say to me that, which I thought was a really good point. It might have been one of you guys even said it. Some of the bigger companies that weren't there, Lowepro, Manfrotto, they don't sell from their stands. You can see their equipment, you can touch it, and if you like something, they'll then direct you to one of the retailers that is at the show, like WEX, London Camera Exchange, Camera World. And someone said to me, maybe some of those companies have realised they can reach through social media and they don't need a presence at these exhibitor shows, at these trade shows. So I thought was quite interesting. Some of these guys never return because they realise.
What was really interesting was that I expected Monday to be really quiet, much quieter than Sunday, and it was very busy.
That's interesting.
Mm. So people had taken the Monday off. I don't know what Tuesday was like, but Monday was really busy.
Yeah, I mean, in the past, typically like the Saturday, Sunday's been aimed at the general public, and the Monday, Tuesday's been aimed at working professional photographers, videographers. Normally that's and a lot of the free talks are geared that way. You know, you see a slight change.
The Canon stand was good. They supported it. Nikon was good. I liked the Fujifilm stand. I didn't like the Sony stand, but it was obviously a lot of money spent on it, but I didn't like the way they it was a bit insular when you were into it. But the generally the big manufacturers were there, and I mean the traditional, you know, selling your camera and buying a used camera. Those sites were really busy. The periphery, what I missed was the little periphery stores. There was not many of those. It was mainly charities and things like that.
Yeah, one of the things that really winds me up is, you know, you had, and I'm going to slag them off, and I'm sorry. And I know that from an organizer point of view, they just want to sell a stall. But, you know, you had people there for back problems and feet problems and cats protection and dogs trust. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but I haven't come to a photography show to see that kind of stuff. And but from the organizer's point of view, they sell a stand. And if they're those people are willing to pay the money for a stand, then...
Well, I suppose Cats Protection League, for example, they see that as a large amount of people in a small space. Mm. They can attract.
Yeah, I can see why they do it. Just to me personally, I walk past. They try and grab your attention, and I feel sorry, but I'm not interested. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting, Ian. You bring me on to the next thing. The bit that I did like was I liked the action area because I was quite interested in taking pictures of the bikes jumping over and the juggling and that. I didn't book into any of the talks, and I'll let you tell us about Rankin. But I went to some of the talks, and I have to say the presentation mediums, the way they did the presentations, were not particularly all inspiring. But I did enjoy, there was a little alley where there was a woman demonstrating lighting, and there was only about five of us there, and I really enjoyed that because I wanted to see how you do the lighting and how she switched on different things, and she was very good. I can probably get a name to you, Martin, because I think it's got on my iPhone, but that was a really good one. And then for a talk that was totally out of the blue was Claire Luxton, who does work for Harper's Bazaar, and she's a one-woman band, but she was wonderful how she put together these exotic displays with exotic birds, plants, and took separate pictures, put them together, and then also did her own cine work in front of it, the video work. And she was really clear, really switched on, and gave you a really good feeling of how she put it together. And I was quite captivated by that talk. Some of the others, someone on street photography said, "Your best friend is Google. Go to Google." And I thought, that's not what I want to hear about in street photography. I want to hear.
Yeah. I think with the free talks, it's always been the same like that. I mean, it's people doing it for free at the end of the day. So I think some of these people, I think, probably get sort of pushed into it because they take great images, but they might not necessarily be great presenters.
Yeah, that's right.
And it is a skill to stand up in front of so many people and present. So... But they are free, and you know what, like you, Damien, I've been to some in the past where after a few minutes you just sneak out, because it's just not, you realize it's
hidden,
not for you.
Hidden gems like that lady, Claire Luxton, was something out of the ordinary, and I could never even begin to do what she was doing, but it was just so interesting of a different way of doing sort of fine art.
I think with hindsight, I think some of the Nikon talks were brilliant, and you could tell that, but that they always seem to have the same seating, and it's the same with Canon. Like, there's never enough seating. And you get people gathering, standing around at Nikon and Canon to listen to the talks, and you think, actually, with the amount of floor space that they had this year, they could have just dedicated some more seating to those guys, so more people could have enjoyed the talks.
That's a good point. So I should get the feedback on that. Yeah. But Rankin, what do you think of Rankin?
I thought he was very good, actually. I didn't know anything about him until the Great British Photography Challenge, and I liked him on there because he was to the point. He didn't obsess about gear. There was nothing about what camera you're using, what lens you're using. It was, and he said it during his talk. He said, "It's either a good photo or it's not a good photo. It either works or it doesn't work." And I thought, yeah, you're right. So he was very good.
I didn't find him too uppity as well. He wasn't trying to say, you've got to listen to me because I'm a great photographer. He actually talked to the young photographers and the amateur photographers at their level as well. There was none of the, you know, sometimes with these reality shows, the expert's got to be the right git, hasn't he? And he didn't do that at all. I've managed to watch all of that series now, and it was very interesting.
I enjoyed it. And he was a very good speaker. He could talk for England. I mean, once you got him started, he was gone. But the only negative that I had about his talk was they didn't show enough of his work. So, you know, I think for like an hour and a half talk, we maybe saw 20 images or so. It wasn't a huge amount for considering, you know, it's a photography show and, you know, you want to see this man's work that he's produced over his career. That would be the
His talk wasn't really about him and his photography, was it? He was covering a broader aspect than that, wasn't he?
I can't remember what it was titled really, but it was about him and his career, but it covered a bit of the video side as well, because I didn't realise that he's got, you know, he's digressed into the video side as well now. And
he did a really good series of the lockdown pictures on Sky Arts, and I so enjoyed that Harry did it and what Harry expressed it, and that's why I got sucked into the next one, the Great British Photography Challenge. And I like him. Unfortunately, some people didn't like the fact that he wasn't nasty enough, that he didn't sort of...
Yeah, one of the things...
I feel that's sad.
Yeah, the subject of picking two winners came up, and he said he went to the BBC and said that, like, I want to pick two people. And apparently they weren't too keen on the idea either, but they let him do it. And they said to him, you know, well, we're going to get some backlash for this, for not picking one person. But he was adamant that he couldn't separate them, so he wanted to pick two people. So,
yeah. And if you look at their portfolios' work, although they were quite different, you couldn't, I couldn't really compare one with the other. Their work was of such a wide gamut that, yeah, I think in the end, the decision he came to was the correct one. It was fine. Damo's already mentioned what was this lady's name? I can see already coming up a little email to me. We need to get this lady on the show, Martin, organise it. You know,
she looks a busy, busy lady. I think she might be well out of our league.
Well, you can but ask, can you? You can but ask. That's all I ever do. So, and anyone out there, all our viewers, if there's anyone you'd like us to try and interview, bring on the show, please send us drop us a note and we'll see what we can do. So was there any piece of kit that you would have liked to have an unlimited credit card with you, Damo?
The R5, I'd have picked up the R5 tomorrow, and I might have bought the toy, the Nikon ZFC as a toy.
Yeah.
Hotel Dodgy that. Hotel Dodgy that.
While you say that, and unfortunately Neil isn't with us tonight, we've got this little piece for you, Neil, if you want to watch. This was Damo playing around with the Nikon ZFC. So just have a look at this.
Okay, you're on. Oh, Dodgy. We're here on this, whatever this funny stand is. I don't know, don't recognise it, but we found this sort of thing. We thought you might be interested in it. It is actually a nice looking camera, right? I was quite surprised. It's a very retro style. Dials instead of buttons.
Press down the centre for
you. Yeah, very old fashioned. All it needs is a film advance lever and we'd be laughing, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
I think that's the standard kit lens that it comes with. Was it a 1550 zoom? But it reminds me, I was saying to Damo here, it reminds me of my old Canon AE-1, which was that kind of style, that kind of body. What do you think, Damo?
Yeah, it's very nice. Just trying to get the autofocus sorted out.
Yeah, so that was an interesting piece of kit.
It's just got a great retro feel. It's just the retro feel of it. Probably got too many knobs on the top. I mean, they sparkled like diamonds as the woman was showing it to us. They just sparkled.
It's standard to have a knob behind a Nikon camera, isn't it?
The thing I was looking at, I was looking for the film rewind lever. That's all the only thing that was missing off the top plate, you know.
In all seriousness, one of the reviews I read said it didn't hold very well in the hand because it hasn't got a grip. What did you find it like?
I mean, that's something I look for now because I like my Fujifilm with a bit more simplicity. It did look a little bit too many dials on top. It had about four or five dials on top, and I just thought it was retro for retro's sake myself, but it still wouldn't. I would say yes if someone gave it to me.
I think you're right. It felt in my hands a little bit dainty. You know, sort of like the camera you hold like that rather than having a good grip that you're so used to with modern cameras.
The R5 just feels so lovely. I mean, it just felt good and solid. And even though it was solid, it was light. And
And we did.
The lens was smaller, more compact. The only thing about it's twice the price of the Canon that I'm holding at the moment.
And we did have a look at a couple of 600 and 800 millimeter Nikon lenses they had rigged up.
Oh yeah, I enjoyed that. Yeah,
weren't they? They were absolutely bee's knees. Ian, what did you find if money wasn't an object?
Oh, if money was no object, the R5. That'd be the ideal replacement, I think, for my 5D Mark III.
Right.
But there was I can't remember the model number. The friend that I was with was after a little compact camera. And we're looking at the Canon stand, and there was one that I picked up on there, but it was about 1,100, 1,200 quid. It was a bit much for a compact camera. But what I liked about it is it had a very small viewfinder, but when you held that up to your eye, obviously the screen goes off as standard. But you could, to move the focus point around in the viewfinder, you could move your finger across the screen.
That's clever.
Okay.
And I thought that was genius.
Yeah.
So yeah, yeah, if money was no object, I'd have the R5 and, you know, one of those as a little walkabout camera.
Yeah. I did a step up. I did join the queue and waited for my turn to have a look at the R3. And it is a superb piece of kit. And we were just mentioning it just feels, as soon as you pick it up, it feels right in your hand straight away. The grip and the feel of it and the balance of it is really impressive. And the fact that the grip, you can actually turn it into portrait mode and you have another grip with all the controls and buttons. The thing that for me, on these tired old eyes of mine, they've got this new feature, which is eye focus. So it tracks where your eyeball is looking, and that's where the focus point will be. And once you've decided on a point of focus that you're looking at, then all of the Canon autofocus system jumps in. So if you're looking at someone's face, it will then detect the eyes of that face and focus on that. So your initial looking around the viewfinder is a guide to where the focus is going to be focused. And then once you found that spot, then the Canon system jumps in. So that was really, really impressive for me.
That sounded amazing. And we went, the friend and I that we travelled up to the photography show with, we went to Slimbridge first, the wetland centre.
Yeah.
And I can just imagine that. I mean, we were taking quite a few shots of sort of, you know, Canada geese and grey-legged geese flying past the hides and stuff. I mean, to have the ability to look at that subject and have the camera pick it up and then track it is just... Yeah,
and the other point for me was I've got a 6D, which is obviously an ordinary mirrored DSLR. The fact that the mirrorless lens means that you can actually watch the video being recorded through the eyepiece, through the eye finder, to me is a huge difference to taking videos. Trying to watch the back screen on a camera that you're holding out with a big lens or even on a tripod, it doesn't work for me as easy as being actually up close and looking into the eyepiece. So that's going to be what I'm going to be saving up my piggy bank for now for the R3 at some point. Not the R1. if they bring the R up on it, I think I can leave that one aside. It'll do.
You don't even know if there's going to be an R1. You assume.
Well, okay. You heard it here first, should we say. And saying that, the other thing you mentioned, we had it on the show a few months back about this Super Scope, the Canon Super Scope, and it's a little single. Of course, the trouble is, luckily for me, I had my glasses on, because you bring it up to your eye and poke yourself in the eye. It wasn't a very good start to the show. But again, quite an interesting concept that you can actually be looking down this binocular and be able to take photographs as well. But I'd imagine the focus problems on that would be quite an issue. So that was my highlight of the show.
You could do the moon with that.
I can't do the moon with anything, Damien. Whatever I try, it doesn't come out. I went out for the harvest moon last week, and I didn't even get anything near what I've got behind my head now. So it's just me and the moon just don't seem to want to ever get on. So we'll keep trying though. That's the whole point. We'll keep trying. Okay, so talking about going forwards now for the rest of this season. We're hoping very much to have the same kind of format. We really would like some comments from all our viewers and people who listen to the show and watch the show. Tell us what you think. It'd be interesting for us to see, is this an interesting format? Do you enjoy it? Would you like to see it changed? Whatever, and we can have a look at that. We want to very much carry on with our guests, bring these different guest photographers onto the show, showing their various different aspects of how they either interact with photography on a professional basis, or as a semi-amateur or semi-pro level. So again, as I said, if there's anyone out there that you think we should interview, bring here into our little studio, we'd be delighted to try that on as well.
I'd like to say a quick mention to our sponsors, TSO Hosts, who provide all the services that we need to get these shows out to you all. They provide all the server bandwidth we need, as well as support for our systems. They're a great company to work with. I have my own site with them. And if you need anything to do with web, design, domain names, hosting, anything like that at all, please contact them. And if you mention BTN20, they'll even give you a big discount off your first orders. Our other main sponsor here is iMen Max here in Birmingham, who are able to service and repair and upgrade any Apple kit or Apple machines that you've got. And they can even provide some really good refurbished machines with excellent value for money. And they deal with any kind of problem, actually. That's a nice bunch of guys. Just give them a ring if you have an issue, anything to do with your Macs, and I'm sure they can help you out.
Right. So, as I said, the shows will be back on track now. We'll have our next show out in a few weeks' time. So, Ian, what are you going to be doing for the next few weeks? Anything, any targets, any projects that you're working on?
No, not really.
You haven't got your Portrait 365, or you're not something like that for this year, or
no.
Okay, so there you are.
Pretty boring.
There are,
sorry. Yeah.
There are viewers. We need a project for Ian. So there's something you fancy. Yeah.
September was been a poor month for photography for me actually.
Okay.
It's that. Fungi.
Fungi.
It's coming into that season. Definitely. I did a little bit last week. We didn't find loads, but there was some bits starting to come out.
Some of these nice atmospheric misty shots now, as we start getting all this mist and dew and coming out.
Yeah, something will fire my inspiration up eventually.
Good. Damien, anything in particular I know you're into street art. Is there any particular?
Well, there's the International Dance Festival in Birmingham on Saturday, so I might go along to that because it was really good a couple of years back. And then I'm going to the West Midlands Photo Collective, which is a nice group of people. They're doing For the Love of Concrete version 2, and I couldn't get on the first one. So we're going to be taking pictures of concrete buildings, whatever takes your fancy, I suppose. But it should be good fun.
Okay, and a few competitions to enter, guys. You were in competition there during the summer, weren't you? Which was that one you were in?
Oh, there's a competition out. I just saw a flash on my Flickr. Here's one for you, Ian. It's the Lego competition on Flickr. So if you go into Flickr, there's a Lego competition. And I know you like your Lego. So
oh, right, okay. I've just finished my space shot.
Do
something on that. Great. Ian, what's the details for you?
ianlewisphoto.co.uk.
Okay, and Damien?
DamienWormsley.com.
Okay, great. And me you can find at martinkelly@mac.com or as Magic Man in the Slack room. Please come and join us there as well, where we talk about photographs and photography and all things related as well. Okay, so I'm going to say goodnight, guys.
Goodnight.
Goodnight.
Okay, goodnight, viewers, and we'll see you in a few weeks' time. Bye.
Bye.
So, 3, 2, 1. Well, thanks, Dan. We just 1 second behind. So it's all going to be out of order. Yeah, because
anyone out the place.
Right, yeah. So, 3, 2, 1.